Hebrews chapter 3.
And then we're going to go back to the book of Exodus. We have been looking at some thoughts about revival, and we kind of looked at some thoughts about all the scriptures in revival on Sunday. And then we looked at the life of Jacob and how his spirit died within him and how he needed to be revived. And he had the wrong expectations, and we had some false assumptions, and he wouldn't get comforted. And then last night we were looking in the scriptures again, and we were looking into the children of Israel and obviously looking into their time in bondage and how many years they were there before they cried out to God. And we're going to come back a little bit to them again tonight, but I want to read from the New Testament where this is referenced from the Old Testament. And so it's a long portion of scriptures. I'd ask you to follow along because I want to read all of Hebrews chapter number 3 and actually part of chapter number 4 because I want us to see the big picture that God is giving. And I'll be honest tonight, the first part of the message is difficult. It's one of those messages that as a preacher, when you start preaching it, you really don't want to because you don't want people to miss what God has for them. But I believe we have to get the foundation about what is here or we don't get the help that we need. And so don't start going in your mind the wrong way. Just follow what the scriptures say, and then we'll get to the good part at the end that is very helpful to us. So read with me, if you would, verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice," and notice this statement, "harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Now, in your mind or even in your Bible, make sure you connect verse 8, the harden not your hearts, with what he says in verse number 12, to beware lest there is an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And the opposite is verse 13. It says, "but exhort one another daily." That's one of the reasons why I like revival meetings. Because that gives us an opportunity to come together daily and exhort one another. He goes on and says, "exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you," that's us, "be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Let me just say something that's kind of comical, but it's also sad. You can read that verse and say, well, it's not happening to me. But that's the problem with what that verse is talking about. Because you're hardened by the what? Deceitfulness. Have you ever been deceived before? When did you know you were being deceived? Right away? No. No, somebody was selling you that car and telling you how good it was, and you didn't know until you'd made the payments. And then you're like, oh, I wish I could get rid of this car. And you got deceived, right? Today on the internet, you ever bought anything on the internet, and you got it, and you said, boy, they sure deceived me. When did you find out you were deceived? Before or after you made the purchase? Okay, so when do you think we find out we're being deceived by sin? When it first comes or after it's already done some work on us? Oh, yes. And that's what's amazing about that verse, because it says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, when you have that epoxy and you have the hardener and you have the other stuff, have you ever mixed your lids up? Put the wrong lid on the wrong container? And then when you came back, you found out you had a problem. That little bit of hardener on that lid got in your glue. And guess what happened? I know, because I had some in South Africa I was going to go use when I came, and it wasn't right. It gotten messed up. You see, that's the thing about hardening, is once it starts to get a hold before we even realize it. Deceitfulness. We're going to come back to that. I think you know where we're going now. Look at verse 14. It says, "For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said," now here it is again, "today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that day should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Continue reading. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in," and here that statement is again, "because of unbelief." And just a little bit more here, verse 7. Again, "he limiteth a certain day, and saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." I want to speak tonight about that thought of the hardening of our hearts. I'm afraid that it's a greater danger than we often realize. It's often doing greater damage than we immediately understand. And sometimes it's been there a lot longer than we can even believe. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us tonight. Lord, we have read some serious scriptures. And Lord, we understand the implications of someone who is lost and hardens their heart. And Father, they don't believe upon you. Then Father, they have no hope of eternal life. And God, the world is truly full of hardened hearts. But God, there's also a great danger as a believer. Although we can never fall away from our eternal salvation, we can never lose that great gift of eternal life. Lord, we can sure find hardness in our heart again. And Lord, that hardness of heart will cause us not to follow you. It'll cause us not to obey you. Lord, it'll cause our life to not be at rest with you. And so God, would you help us tonight to allow you to examine us thoroughly? And Lord, if you find anything that's hardening us, God, I'd ask you that you would remove it, Lord, in my heart, in the hearts of the hearers. Well, we don't want to be hardened. God, we want to be soft. We want to be tender. We want to hear your small voice when it speaks, that we might yield to you. And so, God, give us your help tonight. Help us to understand these scriptures. Help me to speak them as you want them spoken. We ask this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We could reference Psalms, we won't tonight, but it's mentioned there in chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews when it says in verse number 7, in David, the reference there, if you want to know it, is Psalms chapter 95 and verse number 8, when God says, "Harden not your hearts." And we can go back to where this comes from, and it originates clear back in the book of Exodus. And we'll turn there, if you don't mind, for just a moment, and read several verses scattered throughout the first several chapters of the book of Exodus. I want us to look at Pharaoh for just a moment tonight, because And just kind of notice these verses. We won't linger long on them, but just try to draw some thoughts from them about the heart of Pharaoh. The first one is in Exodus chapter number 4 and in verse number 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. And so God was telling Moses he was going to do some things. But an interesting statement in verse 21, at the latter part of that verse, God says, but I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. Now look over, if you would, in chapter number 7, Exodus chapter number 7, and in verse number 3. And once again, God is speaking, and he says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And if you look down at verse number 13, exactly what God says takes place. It says, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go. Now, I'm not going to go into all the ideas tonight about God hardening Pharaoh's heart, and people might accuse God of something, but I understand one thing tonight, that God makes no mistakes. But I do know the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, when you go into the heart of Pharaoh, you understand that when Moses came to Pharaoh and said, let the people go, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And Pharaoh already had a heart problem. But God was making very sure in his wording here that Pharaoh was going to follow a process. And I think it's something that you and I should understand, that we don't get to play games with God. We don't get to say to God, I don't want to do what you say, and then a few days later just decide to do what God says. God may be gracious, but God also may say, well, you chose a hard path. I'm going to let you walk this hard path for a while. And sometimes people don't understand what's going on in life. And this happens sometimes when people get saved. It happens sometimes when people repent as a believer and get their heart right with God. Is they kind of want to just everything to be okay. But sometimes there is some things that God has to work out of our life. And there's some things that God is trying to accomplish. And you can see this as you follow this pattern through the book of Exodus. Read just a couple more verses. Read, if you would, verse number 22. It says in chapter number 4, or chapter 7, it says, let me get my own on the right one. Yes, verse 22, chapter 7. It says, the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. They repeated what Moses did in the miracles. And it says, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And here's that statement. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. God knew what was going to take place. Now go along just a little bit deeper in chapter number 8. And let's see in verse number 15. Because here God has done the miracles. And this is the story of the frogs. And the frogs came. And Pharaoh said, get rid of the frogs. And Moses said, at what time? And at exact time that Pharaoh wanted, God removed the frogs. Read verse number 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, notice this statement, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So we see this dual actioning taking place in the hardening of the heart. Look down, if you would, in verse number 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. You can look down in verse number 32 of chapter 8. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And at this time also, neither would he let the people go. If you look in chapter number 9, look at verse number 7. It says, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. In this situation, he saw the children of Israel not suffering, and it caused his heart to get harder. That happens to some of us, does it not, sometimes? Something bad happens to us, and somebody else gets blessed. You got to be careful. You can get a hard heart. It's from envy, right? You know? Well, how come they're getting that new? How come they're not this? You got to be careful about that. Because then you say, well, I know some things about them, and they should surely be having. I'm just saying hardness comes in all different ways in our life. A bitter spirit is a very destructive thing. Look at chapter number 9 again, verse number 12 now. It says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses." Look at verse number 34. It says there, "And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his hearts." This is an interesting one. "He and his servants." Hardness is contagious. In a family, if the mother or the father gets hardness or bitterness, it starts to affect the spouse. Pretty soon it affects the children. Pretty soon it affects other people around them. You see this taking place in the life of Pharaoh. The last verse of chapter number 9 says, "And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses." In chapter number 10, verse number 1, "The Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these signs before him." Verse number 20, the Bible says again, "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go." Look at verse number 27. "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he would not let them go." Finally, in chapter number 11, we read in verse number 10, "And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land." And you jump ahead to chapter number 14, and in verse number 4, it says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart." This is after they're going to be released out of the land. "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And then again in verse number 8, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand." And you understand what took place at this point? You think about everything God has done with the miracles. I mean, all of the plagues, all the destructions. I mean, Egypt is destroyed. The riches are gone. The children of Israel have everything. And Pharaoh's hardened heart causes him to go after those people. He can't attack them because God's got a pillar of fire there. But when God finally lets the fire go through and the Red Sea is open, Pharaoh doesn't even stop and look at the Red Sea and say, "Wow." He just chases them into the Red Sea. I like what the Bible says next. How that God took the wheels off of their chariots. I just can't imagine as Pharaoh got in the middle of that wall of water and the chariot wheels came off. I don't think he repented. I don't think Pharaoh said, "Oh my." I think Pharaoh, you get the image, you can just imagine him shaking his fist at God one more time. Why? Because of hardness of heart. And everything was destroyed. I read all of that tonight because I want us to understand the seriousness of a hard heart. I want us to understand that there's a dangerous thing when you or I, even as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, harden our hearts against anything God says. Anytime we come to the place in our life where we see something in the Bible, I'm not talking about things we're still trying to learn. I'm not talking about things that we're still trying to wrestle our mind about. I'm talking about something that God shows us in the Scriptures. The Spirit of God speaks to us. The Spirit of God says, "This is what you need to do." And you know it. And you refuse to do it. You've just started down the path of a hard heart. It's no different than when Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Now, please don't misunderstand me tonight. I'm not talking about when I come up to you and I say, "Well, I think this is what you ought to do." That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Because you may not agree with me, amen? And I'm glad you don't have to agree with me, because guess what? When we all die and stand before God, I'm not sitting next to God giving him counsel about anything, all right? I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, through the Scriptures, speaks to your heart. And if you are a child of God, he does that. Amen? Amen? He does. If you're saved, he speaks to you, all right? Now, here may be a problem in our life is we're missing the first element. We're not in his word. And I will say to you tonight with all kindness, if you are not in the word of God, you've already gone down the path of hardness. Because there's no doubt that as a believer, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may what? Grow thereby. And anytime we as a believer say, I don't have time, I'm not interested, I'm too busy, I just can't, and we neglect the word of God, we've already been deceived by the sin and the hardening has started. Many years ago, there was a missionary that came back from the field. Our church supported him. My pastor asked him why he got in the mess that he got in. It was the most amazing thing that this missionary told my pastor. He said, it wasn't the great shark that devoured me. He said, it was the little fish that were nibbling away at me. And he went on to explain in his life how that he got busy in doing this and doing that and doing this and these things. And he simply started neglecting the word of God. And you know what it led him to? To a destruction of his home, his family, and his ministry. You know why? Because that's what hardness of heart does. Oh, tonight, if we could get that in our hearts, you say, Brother Bill, you sound like you're trying to put some fear in us. I am. And I'll show it to you in the Bible in just a moment. That we must live in fear of hardness of heart. What are some things that puts fear in us or puts that hardness in us? Look at Daniel chapter number 5. I have a lot of verses tonight, and we will look quite a few places in the scriptures. If you miss one, try to jot it down. Daniel chapter number 5, and let's just look at some living illustrations of what hardens our heart. Daniel chapter number 5, look with me if you would, in verse number 18. It says, O thou King, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Of course, Daniel is speaking here to Belshazzar, who has really crossed some lines in some wicked ways. And he's referencing back to the story of his father Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse 19. He says, and for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. That was Nebuchadnezzar. He was blessed of God. But look at verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. And we don't need to read any longer on. We understand what it is. The root hardening agent of the heart is that wonderful word called what? Pride. The middle letter in pride is what? I. What did Satan say when he was that Lucifer, that angelic being? He said, I will ascend to the throne of the Most High. I. And it's an indication of a hardness of heart when my life becomes about I. I feel this. I think this. I like this. I want this. That's just a good reminder that the middle letter of pride is I, and the middle letter of sin is what? I. And I is an indicator of a hardened heart. Look at Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter number 28. How many times in counseling and in situations between people, will I? You have to stop it, and you have to say, let's not talk about you. Let's talk about what is right. Look in Proverbs chapter number 5, or Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 14. And the Bible says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Remember what I said earlier about fear? You know what an indication of the hardened heart is? When we no longer fear. It's the person that says, it won't happen to me. It won't happen to my family. It won't happen to my children. It won't happen to my marriage. It won't happen to my church. But when you start hearing those words, guess what you better mark down? the hardening has already started. They've lost the fear. Come on, you all know how you get people to do crazy stunts? When somebody's afraid, how do you get them to do it? Little by little, right? Closer and closer to the edge. And then you shove them off. If they would have maintained their fear, they'd have never got shoved off. Isn't that right? How many a young person said, I'll never do drugs because they were afraid of what drugs would do? Before they ever took that first drug, they had to overcome their fear. It's the truth, isn't it? Many sins would never be committed if people had their fear. But they lose their fear. Fear, the lack of it, is an indication of hardness of heart. These are interesting verses in the New Testament. Mark chapter number 6. And these verses help me understand tonight that I can get hardness of heart. That you can get hardness of heart. Because in Mark chapter number 6, God is speaking to his disciples. The men that left all and followed him. The men that were there and he called them and they immediately began to do what he wanted them to do. But as they went through their experiences with Christ and their teaching, they got hardness of heart. Look in Mark chapter number 6. Jesus is there with them on the ship. If you remember, there the storm, and he comes out and they were all afraid. And I'll just read verse number 52. It says, for they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now think about this, though. Think about what it's saying here. Okay, we're talking about a storm, a ship, and they're out there in the storm. The boat's about to sink, and they're all in fear. And Jesus comes walking on the water, and they're afraid of what's going on. And when Jesus calms the storm, he rebukes them for their hardened heart. Why? Because they didn't remember the miracle of the loaves. How does that connect? Well, it's very simple. If God took care of the food problem, he could take care of the ship problem. You understand what I'm saying? And they forgot that God was in control. Look at Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. Hardness of heart when we forget the past works of God in our current circumstances indicates hardness of heart. I know in my own life that I've got a hard heart when I'm stressed over something. Amen. I'm just being honest with you tonight. When I'm all worked up over something, let me tell you why I'm all worked up over it. Because hardness has crept in my heart. Because I've forgotten what God has already done. When I'm worried about something on my truck or my trailer or my ministry, it's just because I've got hardened heart. Because I could write a book about things God has already done. Do you understand what I'm saying? I could tell you time after time after time, God has provided in amazing ways. I can go back to the earliest days of my ministry. I remember one time I was leaving a church in Wyoming, and I had to get somewhere to get gas. I'd get to the next church. I didn't have enough gas. I had just a couple of dollars in my pocket, and I was all stressed over it, you know? And I pulled up to the gas pump, and I told my wife, I said, we're just going to put the $2 in and hopefully get as far as we can. And you know what? We opened up the little gas cover. There was a $20 bill sitting in there. I know who put it there, too. I called him later and said, did you put some money in my gas cap? He said, yeah. I said, thank you. And then I had to apologize to God. But you know, when I forget those things, it's an indication of hardness of heart. Are you with me? It really is. Because it was $20 to fill the car up then, it's $200 to fill the truck up now. But it's the same God. But I need this message tonight. Are you with me? Because I get hardened in heart. And I start to think, oh. And God says, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. And we all get hardness of heart. And that's why we have to recognize it, because if you don't recognize this, it starts creeping in deeper. And if it creeps in deeper, you start walking down the path of Pharaoh. I don't want to walk down the path of Pharaoh, do you? I don't want God to look down and say, you know what? It's time to teach him a lesson. Because he's forgotten who I am. He's forgotten to give God the glory. He's forgotten to do what I say. The disciples were struggling with this. If you're in Mark chapter number 8, look what it says here in verse number 14. It says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And there's a lot of good teaching there. But it says, they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he saith to them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Notice this, have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said 12. And when the seven among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? And here was the problem. They had a heart that was still hardened. Jesus is trying to teach them about the leaven of the Pharisees, and he's trying to teach them great things. But they're still stressed over the physical elements. An indication of a heart that is hardened. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter number 16. All the miracles. Christ has now been crucified. He is resurrected. Look at verse number 14 of Mark chapter 16. It says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. And upbraided them with their unbelief and what? Hardness of heart. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Here they are, the disciples, after all that time with Jesus. Now, I understand, it's a dramatic event. Jesus just died. They saw him nailed to the cross. Their world is turned upside down. They'd been looking for a kingdom. Instead, they got a savior, and they're trying to figure all of that out. But yet, he had told them he was going to resurrect. And after he arose, people are saying he arose, and they're saying, we're not sure if it's him or not. So when Jesus appears to them, he doesn't put his arm around them and say, oh, my dear disciples, I'm so sorry you're having all this problem. He upbraids them because of what? Their unbelief, their hardness of heart. So any time in my life, no matter how big the problem is, when I'm struggling with believing God, it's an indication of what? Hardness of heart. Doesn't matter how small the problem is. When I'm not believing God, I've developed a heart problem. And if you don't fix heart problems, they soon destroy you. Isn't that right? I had a good friend of mine. He was an evangelist. He died. Nobody knew he had heart problems. I forget how many heart attacks and strokes they said he must have had when they checked him out. He never went to a doctor. The pains that must have been there never went. And then he died. Now, I don't know if he'd have gone to a doctor, if they could have helped him or not. That's not a concern. But don't miss the point. When God starts pointing into your heart these areas and says, indicators, you got hard, we should do something about it. Could I say this tonight also? Where do you think the children of Israel, because that's who we read about in Hebrews, right? That God said, beware lest you enter into their heart of unbelief. Where do you think they picked up the heart of unbelief at? In the world, right? In Egypt. Could I just say something to you as a dear friend tonight? Every day you go to work, you're being infected with hearts of unbelief. Isn't that right? Every time you go to school, you're being infected with hearts of unbelief. Every time you go to the stores, you're being surrounded with people of hearts of unbelief. And we have to be careful because hardness is contagious. I mean, I feel for a man that works all day around people who curse and swear and mock God and don't believe God. And you know, I think about a lady that works in environments where people are gossiping and slandering. And I think about young people that are in the schools and all the music and the friends and the evolution and all the junk that's in the world. That has an effect on us. Those are hardening agents. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know when I've been around a lot of things like that in my life, boy, my heart can just get hardened. Sometimes it happens to God's people in this way. We live in a world that isn't just running to Jesus today. We won't look at the parable of the sowers and the seed, but that soil was hard. And sometimes when you're out witnessing to people and the hearts are hard and the hearts are hard and the hearts are hard, you know what it makes our hearts sometimes? Hard. We gave them a track, we witnessed to them, they didn't receive it, and our hearts get hard. I'm saying tonight we must be very careful of hardness of heart. So with that in mind, let me just give you some simple thoughts this evening about protecting our heart. I'll give you some verses in Proverbs. You don't necessarily need to turn to them. I'll just read them to you quickly. Proverbs chapter number 2 says in verse 10, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." In Proverbs chapter 4, he said, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." He said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." I say tonight, we must work at keeping God's word in our heart. And the harder our heart is, the harder it is keeping the word in there. Do you understand that? And so you say tonight, "I'm struggling in the word of God." What's that an indication of? The heart has gotten hard. When I'm easily distracted from the scriptures, when I come to church and I find the word of God hard to focus on, when I wish the preaching would get over and it would just be done so I could get back to my other things in life, what do you think that's an indication of? Hardness of heart, right? It can happen to all of us. When I get my Bible out in the morning and I go to read it and I'm like, just got to read this and hurry up and get so I can get onto this, you know, and I'm eager to find out what's going on over here. What is that an indication of? Hardness of heart. And when I start recognizing that, I've got to do the only thing that will soften my heart. The Word of God. It's a plow. It's a hammer. I have to make myself do it. The Bible does say, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Isn't that true? Yeah. When I go to the doctor and the doctor says, "You know, Brother Smith, we just ran some tests on your heart, and guess what? You got some problems. You got some blockage. You got some this and that." I have two choices, right? I can take what he says seriously and make the changes he says, or I can just keep doing what I'm doing. And if I keep doing what I'm doing, guess what? Somebody better sign up to take over what I'm doing, because it's not going to keep happening. Isn't that right? But all of a sudden now, the doctor has shook me up. And so guess what I got to do? I have to make some, here it is, lifestyle changes. Do you think we like those? Absolutely not. The doctor just changes your diet. He says you got to exercise. And we all know the big one, stress, right? You got to get out of the stress. I'm like, "Hey, send me to Hawaii, man. You pay the bill, I'll be less stressed." And that's what people have to do, right? And we know if they don't do it, what happens? So spiritually, it's the same thing, is it not? The preacher preaches, the word of God speaks, the spirit speaks, and God says, "Heart checkup, I found some hardness." Guess what it's going to require? A spiritual lifestyle change. Otherwise, the hardness is going to take over. Psalm 26. Let's read this verse. Psalm chapter 26, verse number 2. I think if David was one that understood, did he not understand? Did David ever get hardness of heart? Oh, yes, he did, didn't he? David's hardness of heart got so bad that he committed adultery. He murdered a man, and he tried to hide it all over. You see where hardness leads to? I guarantee if before you read that story about David, if God never put it in the Bible, if somebody would have come and you said, do you think David would have ever committed adultery and murdered a man? You said, oh, not David. David was a man after what? Whew. But a man after God's own heart got a hard heart. So I like what David wrote. I think he understood it. Psalm chapter 26, verse number 1, he says, judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. But look what he says in verse number 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. You know what they tell you? You shouldn't wait to go to the doctor and have your heart checked until you get a pain, right? What do they tell you to do? Just go get it checked, right? Yeah, just go have a heart checkup. Let the doc put you on that old stress thing and see how your old ticker's working. Now, why do most people not go? Yeah, they're scared what they're going to find out, aren't they? Yeah, or it costs too much money. But I know they offer them free at all these fairs all the time. And they see you walking down, they say, come on over. Oh, that's okay, I'm good. I'm fine. I said, well, if you're so fine, why don't you get on that machine? And sure, but you're fine. You know why? Because down inside there's a fear that maybe something's not right. Do you have that fear about God tonight? Can we not just say, Lord, examine me? Try my reins. Lord, would you look at my heart and see if there's any hardness? Psalm 139, verse number 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If I want to have a soft heart tonight, I must have an attitude that says, God, search me all the time. I must continually and regularly have times when I say, Lord, examine me. Did you know that's one of the reasons we have revival? It's kind of like a spiritual health clinic, amen? And it's just a good time to say, Lord, is there anything you've been talking to me about that I haven't done? And God says, well, I'm glad you asked. Sit down here for a little bit. Let's talk. Lord, is there any hardness in me? Any bitterness? Pastor said this the other night. We talked, and he talked at the end of the message about sometimes you got to go back and deal in the past. Now, I don't believe we dig up things in the past that need to be laid there, buried. But if something's stinking in the past, you need to go bury it. Amen? And we got bitterness and things there. We got to sit down with God. And God probes and he says, hey, you know, this over here, that over there. And oh, what a joy it is. Psalm 51, verse number 10. I think we know that verse. It's what David spoke after his sinfulness. Psalm 51, verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, I'm so glad that God can fix the hardness of heart. I'm so glad. You know, you go to a physical doctor, and the doctor runs the heart test. He might say, ooh, you got problems. And he might say, we can do this or that. Or he might say, I don't know. We haven't figured out what to do about this. But I want to say something tonight. You go to God, and when God points out a problem in your heart, guess what God has? The answer. He's the master physician. And you let God probe. He can fix it. That's the beauty of it. When we respond to the Spirit of God and do what God says, when we step out and say, you know, God dealt me in the heart here. God told me to take care of this. It's like when God told Jacob to go back to Esau. God already had it all worked out. Amen. See, that's where the unbelief is. I remember one time there were some boys in Bible school. They got convicted in Bible school about stealing. This happened in a little town down in Nebraska about 20 years ago. And they came up to me after Bible school and they said, "Man, Brother Bill, we've been stealing." I said, "From who?" They said, "The store in town." There's only one store in town. I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" "We got to go down there and tell him. We're going to go to jail." I said, "Yeah." They were so scared. You know, they went down there and they told that guy. He didn't beat him. You know what he just said? He said, "Well, why don't you come by after Bible school and sweep my store for a couple days this week and we'll call it okay." They were so happy, you know. But I've often wondered, what if those boys would have just said, "Oh, we're not going to deal with this. We're not going to deal with this." You know what they'd have been doing? Is hardening their heart more. Do you see what I'm saying? So when God says deal with it, you have to what? Deal with it. No matter what it takes. Create in me a clean heart. Psalm 57, verse number 7, David said, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." Now that doesn't mean fixed in the sense that it's all made right, but it's talking about the fact it's now set right. It's now set, and that's how you keep a soft heart. You keep a soft heart by keeping it fixed and focused on God. And I love this one, Psalm 34 and verse number 18. Psalm 34 and verse number 18. Such a beautiful verse. Maybe we should read verse 17 also. It says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Now look at verse 38. I'm sorry, verse 18. 34, verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." I'm saying tonight that every single individual ought to be greatly concerned about hardness of heart. We read in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, "Beware lest there enter into any of you an evil heart of unbelief," that hardness. I understand a lost person that keeps hardening their heart and hardening their heart and hardening their heart and doesn't get saved, what an eternal wrath and condemnation that abides upon them forever and ever and ever, just like Pharaoh. But God's children, his saved children, can develop heart problems also. They'll never lose their salvation and be cast into that eternal lake of fire because they have the wonderful gift of eternal life. But what a terrible life will follow them because of hardness of heart. And it can happen to any of us. And it starts with just a little spot. And oh, when God says, that's the spot, we shouldn't get angry, we should get thankful. And say, "Lord, thank you. I'm glad you showed that to me before it got so big." Because usually on those hard spots, they got to kind of get cut out. And the longer it spreads, the more it hurts. And how much better it is to go to God when you hear that small voice saying, "This is it." Than when God has to get out his big hammer and say, "Okay, it's really hard. Let's break it. Let's have a soft heart." Would you pray with me tonight? Father in heaven, Lord, please. Lord, I long in my own life, Lord, to alleviate those hard areas. Lord, sometimes it seems like my own pride, my own life, sometimes the world, sometimes circumstances, they bring that hardening agent into my life, and it's never nice to deal with it. But God, it's so wonderful when it's removed. And God, tonight I pray that you have reminded us and convicted us as your children about our heart. Well, we don't want that hard heart. Well, we don't want to go through a hardening process and a breaking process. God, we want to be humble. We want to be sensitive. We want to be yielded. Lord, we don't want pride and anger and wrath and bitterness and clamor and evil speaking and all the lust of the flesh to overcome us. So God, tonight I pray that your Spirit would do a work through us. Father, that you would hear us and that we would pray, search me, try me. And God, as you probe, we would respond from our hearts. Lord, we ask this in your precious name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. An invitation is a time between you and God. However God would lead you tonight, that's what you should do. If God would tell you to outwardly manifest and to kneel and pray and talk to him, then you should so do. If God would tell you to seek a brother or sister out and pray with them, then you should so do. If God would tell you to go to your pastor, you should go to him. If God would say tonight you're not saved and you need to believe on him, then you should make that known and believe on him. But we should take some time tonight and just let God search our hearts. So I'm going to ask Miss First, if she would, just to play quietly on the piano tonight. And as she plays, we'll have a time of prayer. A time of letting God search us. Asking God to examine us. And then let us not be like Pharaoh. Let us not say, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? But rather let's say, thank you, Lord. And obey your voice. So Miss First, as you'll play tonight, we'll take some time and pray. You can use the altar. However God would lead you tonight, you may do that.
Dismissed in just a moment. I want to say that probably the most awful time in my life is when I just don't seem to care. When I'm just going through the motions and it's just routine. And all these things are wake up calls for us and checkups. And I can't help but think that in a meeting like this, when we're here, some of us started Saturday with the young people, Saturday morning with the prayer breakfast, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know how you can go through a meeting like that without some time or another having a time with God, a decision, an invitation time where you get on your knees or you bow your head and you're talking to God about some things. And that's what it's for. That's what this is for. And it's examining our hearts. That's what communion is for, examining our hearts. And we're not perfect, and we're not trying to show or pretend perfection, because we're not. This is about just getting things right with God. And it's, as I said a minute ago, the most awful time is when I feel calloused. The happiest time is when I'm soft. Yeah. You know, that's right. That's just the exact opposite happens. Yeah. When I'm soft and tender to the things of God. Let's pray. Don't forget the offering plate. I keep forgetting to mention that, I think. But don't forget, if you'd like to give something to Brother Bill, you don't have to stick it in his gas can unless you want to. Stick it in his gas tank. You could just put it in the offering plate. It's a little easier that way. Less stressful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for your word and the reminder of such a subtle but serious condition of hardness and vexing our souls in this world, as Lot's family did. Mm-hmm. And getting just hardened. And help us, Lord, as was said at the very beginning, to not be deceived with how deceptive our sin really is. And help us to be seriously honest and to take a closer look than we've been taking, and to be softened, and that you would soften our hearts and help us to desire it so it doesn't have to be severely administered by you, but rather just willingly humbled. And I pray that you would work in our heart and our children and our families, and so that then we can be productive and fruitful for you. And we thank you for the reminder again tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.